WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Magnolia is the new film by Paul Thomas Anderson, who made Boogie Nights. It's an ensemble piece that takes its title from the San Fernando Valley street where the characters live. Film critic John Powers has a review.
Believe it or not, it's hard being a famous young filmmaker. The expectations run so high for each new picture that you're almost certain to disappoint them. When Quentin Tarantino made Jackie Brown, he was thumped, wrongly, I think, for copying himself, for doing the same old thing. Now comes P.T. Anderson. His new movie Magnolia is a sprawling, quasi-biblical epic about parents and children, the sins of the past, and the search for forgiveness. And predictably, people are chiding him for being self-indulgent and overly ambitious. In fact, later on, I'm going to do just that. Magnolia follows the cross destinies of nine characters, who, rather like the animals in Noah's Ark, seem to come in pairs. There are two bad fathers dying of cancer, one played by stentorian Philip Baker Hall, the other by raspy Jason Robards. There are two overwrought women, Robards' agonized young wife, played by Julianne Moore, and a twitchy cokehead, played by Minora Walters. There are two game show quiz kids, a grown-up loser, played by William Macy, and a beleaguered child genius. That's Jeremy Blackman. And then there are two guardian angels, Robards' male nurse, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, and John C. Reilly's good-hearted cop. Finally, as the wild card in the deck, there's Frank T.J. Mackey, the swaggering misogynist guru of Search and Destroy, a self-esteem program for men. He's played by Tom Cruise, with more energy and fire and angry wit than he's ever before put on screen. The lives of these characters gradually come together like a connect-the-dots puzzle, a process that's sometimes furious, sometimes gentle, and sometimes quite funny. Here, Hoffman's character calls the grocer to place an order.
Hi, I'd like to get an order for delivery.
Phone number?
818-725-4424.
Partridge?
Yeah?
What would you like?
I'd like to get an order of peanut butter,
mm-hmm.
Cigarettes, Camel Lights,
mm-hmm.
Water.
Bottled water?
No. You know, forget the water. Just give me a loaf of bread. White bread.
Okay.
And, do you have Playboy magazine?
Yeah.
Okay, one of those. And Penthouse, the magazine?
Yeah.
Do you have that? Okay, one of those. And Hustler?
Yeah.
Do you have that?
Yeah, I said. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Do you still want the peanut butter bread and cigarettes?
Yeah. What?
Actually, he doesn't want those magazines for the reasons you might think. For Magnolia is not one of those movies which suggests that beneath the surface, even the nicest people are secretly grubby and vile. Rather, Anderson is obsessed with the tender, wounded reaches of the human heart. His characters are torn by anger and self-hatred, gnawed at by old guilts and failures. And they're all seeking love and peace. There's no ironic detachment in Anderson's view of his characters, nor does he sentimentalize the sordid as he did in Boogie Nights. Like the late John Cassavetes, Anderson loves his flawed, floundering characters, even when, like Walter's druggie, she's so annoying you want to belt her. And he loves his performers, who act their hearts out for him. No young director has more natural filmmaking talent than Anderson, who can seemingly do anything. He knows how to let his actors search for emotional grace notes. He knows how to move his camera with effortless grace or whiplash ferocity. And he knows how to orchestrate a breathtaking tour de force, as in the amazing scene when the young genius melts down on the quiz show. In fact, Anderson can do so much, I wish he'd learned to do less. For the problem with Magnolia is that it's exhaustingly excessive. Like a pianist who plays only arpeggios, Anderson never gives us room to breathe. He plays every scene as a climax, conceives every shot as something that should knock our eyes out. Although moment by moment the movie's under control, the overall impression is that of watching a runaway train whose engineer is driven by personal demons to keep pushing the throttle down even farther. Does the movie really need a historical prologue chronicling three weird tales of chance? Do we really need two child geniuses and two dying fathers? As a friend said as we walked from the theater, Does everyone need to wind up crying? Blake wrote that the road of excess leads to the palace of wisdom. While you couldn't prove this using Magnolia, whose excesses lead to the strip mall of silliness, I hope you understand that I'm actually encouraging you to see it. For P.T. Anderson has tried to make the greatest movie anyone has ever seen, and just because he's failed, it doesn't mean that this messy, inspired explosion of a picture wasn't worth the effort. When it comes to making movies, hubris is better than defeatism.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Today's program was produced by Kathy Wolf. Our interviews and reviews are produced by Phyllis Myers, Amy Sallet, Naomi Person, and Joan Tui, with Monique Nazareth and Patty Leswing.